Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 90 of Season 8 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast, where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish up the week and cap off an hour and a half of this movie is John Parker of The Bat Minute. Welcome back to the show, John.
I'm back one more time.
And it's good that you're back.
Because we're trying, I'm not doing that voice.
We're trying to figure out what happened to Wade.
Oh. I'm heartbroken, even just watching this silently in the background.
So, minute 90 begins with Jackson trying to reassure Wade, and ends with Jackson just seeking help from Miller. So once again, like yesterday, I'm just going to read through the entire dialogue in this minute because there's so much going on. just a little, you know, it doesn't make sense to do line by line, just let it flow.
Yeah.
So just for anyone who's just picking this up right now, the idea is that Wade is lying there injured, and the rest of the guys are all around trying to figure out how they're going to help him, how they're going to save him. And, you know, he's got blood coming from all over the place. And, you know, so the dialogue in this minute starts with, "It's okay, Doc. It's all right. Wait, you got an exit wound. It's in the small of your back. How big is the hole? About the size of an acorn. It's fine. You're fine. You're fine. Put some pressure on it. Put some pressure on it. Put some pressure on it. It's all right. Put some pressure on it. Is there anything bleeding worse than the others? Yeah, right here. Right here. Do you know what it is? No, right here. Yeah, right here. I'm going to put your hand on it. We got some pressure on there. Right there. That's good. Okay, that's the one. Oh, my God. My liver. Oh, my God, it's my liver. Something wrong, Wade. Tell us what to do. Tell us how to fix you. What do you need? What do you need? What can we do, Wade? Tell us what to do. Oh, I could use a little more morphine. More morphine, sir? So, again, total chaos about everything that's going on here. You know, each of them are trying to find some better way to help him. And, you know, we find out through the course of this minute that there really is nothing to do to help Wade. Wade himself acknowledges the fact that the only thing that's going to help him right now is morphine.
That's the really sad moment, isn't it? Because I think when he realizes it's hit his liver, that's when he seems to shift to, you know, like acceptance. And yes. When he says he wants the morphine, we all know what that's for. We know what he's really saying with that. And I think some of the others don't put the pieces together. And they're like, oh, morphine, yeah, that'll help him. It will help him, but not in the way they're hoping.
Correct. No, because they think, okay, morphine is just going to keep him calm while they're able to patch him up or whatever it is. But unfortunately, that's not what's going to be happening here. You know, the idea is he's basically saying, make me comfortable till the end.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't want to say it out loud, I think. But he's like, yeah, this is the only thing now. Just give me the morphine. Just give me loads. Give me all the morphine. Who cares?
Exactly.
Let me be comfortable and go out that way. As comfortable as I can be, anyway.
Sure. Which we know, you know, next week we'll have more of a discussion as to, you know, the repercussions of listening to Wade or not listening to Wade, you know, that type of thing. We see that on the faces of the various soldiers. We only see it here at the very end where Jackson looks at Miller to get his approval as to, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. Now, there are a few things that are just amazing about the way that this minute plays out. You know, first of all, you know, as this whole dialogue is going on, they're all doing something. Somebody's trying to wipe off all the blood. Miller is trying to feel into his back. You know, and the fact that he says it's the size of an acorn is pretty interesting also.
Yeah, know? And it seems to be that he's saying that as if, like, oh, it's not so bad. It's the size of an acorn. That sounds huge.
Exactly. Well, I mean, they always say that the exit wound is a lot larger than the entrance wound.
Hmm.
You know, and that's part of the issue here.
And, yeah, that sounds horrific.
Well, again, a bullet was not invented to be nice.
True. Especially you get those ones, you get ones that do deliberately explode on exit.
That's correct.
I can't remember what they're called, but yeah, that's really brutal.
They're called not exploding bullets. I can't remember right now what it was called, but there is a term for it. But again, you can look at the fact that even arrows, the idea of an arrow is to cause more damage. Also, it has a small point to go in, but when you have to take it out, it's going to be causing a lot more damage.
It causes a big issue. So you can't really deal with it there and then as well. You've got to try and just cope with it and deal with it later, which makes you less effective.
Right. Again, the people who invented these weapons, were not idiots.
No.
They said, let's do what we can to maximize the damage.
Well, a big thing that they often did in the First World War was to, create weapons that wouldn't even necessarily kill people. Because their goal was often to injure them. So then they'd have to be shipped back and be looked after and be a strain. Like the more wounded you create, the better in that environment, because they couldn't come back to the front line either. Like, so, and you're draining resources. So that's what the gas was usually for. It wasn't necessarily to kill people. It was to like cripple them, basically.
Right. Well, again, you want to, the whole idea of terrorism also is the idea to instill terror in people in order for them to not. In order to interrupt their lives, let's put it that way.
Even necessarily about the deaths themselves. Yeah, it's about what it creates.
That's right. It's psychological warfare from certain perspectives. And even back during World War II, and World War I, and it goes back much further. That's what people wanted to do. They might not have been able to specifically say, they couldn't tag it with a term, but they knew what they were doing. They want to disrupt your life.
That's kind of why, Germany bombed England so much. It wasn't, we're going to destroy them. It was more to mess with us and like break morale and things. So we might withdraw from the war because we can't take it anymore.
Correct. And it makes sense. you as you said, you want to cripple the enemy, not necessarily just kill them. You also want to kill them, but in the meantime, why don't we cripple as many of them as we can, and not necessarily cripple them physically, but let's cripple them, mentally and things like that.
Yeah, and it was a big thing here. Like I live in Liverpool, and here in Liverpool, we still have a monument basically to the war, because Germany, when they were bombing Liverpool, they blew up a church. And the church is still standing, except the whole roof came off. Like, so it's like the outer skeleton of a church, so to speak. And that's still there. You go visit it and it's like a museum almost. They show movies there and things as well. So it's quite cool the way you can then take something like that and reinterpret it and make it into something positive.
Correct. Which makes sense.
Turn
something sour into something sweet.
Yeah.
From that perspective, and stuff like that. And again, they're these men are all trying to reassure Wade, even though Wade knows that there's nothing they can say that's going to be able to help, because he knows the situation much better than they do.
Yeah, I really like as well how he doesn't tell them, though, because I think he doesn't. It's almost like he doesn't want to do that to them, because then they'll all panic and go, no, we can help you. And it'll become worse in a way. Mm-hmm. So he's like, nah, just give me the morphine. He's like, I'm not going to tell them. They don't need to know that. Although, as you said, Miller, I think the look on his face, I think he's the first one to go, ah.
Well, I know what he's doing. I just look at Wade and you see blood coming out of his mouth, which already tells you that there's massive internal bleeding.
Yeah.
blood is already coming out of his mouth. So
that's never a good sign.
That's right.
And I think Miller's, I think the implication might be he's seen this before, you know, to friends, colleagues, things like that. So he quickly seems to understand the situation and what the morphine's all about.
Well, you can also sort of say that they saw it all on the beach.
Yeah. Well, if they had time to take it in. That was a chaos. Jeez.
Correct.
Whereas this obviously probably feels a lot more immediate and personal. Because when it's all happening on the beach, as horrific as it is, you can't stop. You've got to just keep going.
Right. Well, again, the whole idea was, why do you have to keep going? Because, you know, you're not safe anywhere to stay there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's just a question of, you know, where's the safest place to be? I mean, Miller says it also. You stay here, you're dead. You know.
Mm-hmm. If you stop to help someone bleed and act like you're probably going to get hit. And I don't think they deliberately often did target medics, did they? That was a thing. But in the heat of that, I don't think they're checking, you know?
Correct. And they sometimes say that they do. I mean, I know in Hacksaw Ridge, they talk about that the Japanese did target the medics.
Yeah, and that's like a big thing. Like, you don't usually do that, do you?
Again, what do you mean you do or you don't? It's a question of, according to the Geneva Convention, you can't. But does that necessarily mean that all the people fighting in wars are actually going to be following, the Geneva Convention?
No, exactly. And when it's something like what's going on, you know, in this movie, you haven't got the luxury of checking these things. So I don't think you can fault, you know, you couldn't fault like the Germans for it, because of course they're going to hit a medic, you know?
Correct. I don't think in this particular case they were aiming for Wade. I mean, we didn't see the battle.
But no, exactly. And they're just shooting that machine gun, because it was like they had a machine gun up there, didn't they?
Yeah.
Or am I misremembering?
Yeah, they have a machine gun up there.
Yeah.
I think it's just the idea that they were shooting towards Jackson and they missed Jackson and hit Wade.
You're not saying to your fellow soldiers, wait, no, hang on, no, look, he's got an armband on saying he's a medic. Don't you? You're not going to do that.
Right. Now, I mean, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but Wade also doesn't carry a weapon throughout this entire movie.
That's a very good point. I don't think I've ever picked up on that. Huh. Wow. But again, in the heat of battle, you know, even if he wasn't in the middle of a battle, like, he might get hit anyway. You're not checking.
Oh, no, for sure. But I'm saying it goes to show that he's possibly somewhat of a pacifist.
Yeah, yeah. That was, you know, people did that, didn't they? Cause...
Well, of course. Again, it goes back to what I was talking about with Hacksaw Ridge. The whole idea is that you have, a character or based on, Desmond Dial? I'm trying to remember his last name. Desmond Dunn?
Oh, yeah. I'm the worst for names. Don't ever ask me someone's name.
Well, I get his first name right. That's already a start, isn't it?
Yeah, it's better than I could do.
And, the idea there is that he refused to pick up a weapon, but he still wanted to save others. Desmond Doss.
That
was close. So again, this could be that, you know, Wade is also one of those guys. You know,
that makes him an even nicer person that you like even more. Oh.
Well, again, but also if you look up from the perspective that even if he had a gun, it wouldn't have helped him.
You know? Yeah, you're right. I don't think it would have really made any difference at all, would it? He wouldn't have shot the guy first, by the sound of it.
Exactly. Right. So we see that you know, Mellish himself also, you know, he thinks he's going to help if he shows him where the wound is.
You know? Yeah, I think he's just hoping he can give him more advice. He's not realized yet what this means. And he's like, no, but if I show you, you can tell me what to do, right? Because you're a medic. That's your job. You're great at it.
Correct. Apparently not good enough to be able to help him with with what he's dealing with right now.
No. Oh.
Yeah. Not simple. Not simple.
No, and you've got coming up, no spoilers, people. You've got coming up, I think, one of the most upsetting scenes in cinema history. This is bad enough, but the actual fate, let's say, of this character. Wow, he goes out in a very moving and sad way. It's very real.
We shall talk about that next week.
I don't envy you. That's it's hard to take. I put it up there with light spoiler here, people, but you've probably seen the movie. I put it up there with some of the best deaths ever.
Okay. In this movie or in general?
In general. I think it's one of the most affecting. Like, you know, it doesn't leave you.
Okay. That definitely fits in with that. That's true. Interesting.
This movie's got lots of them, to be honest. This movie's got a monopoly on on those, you know, because I will beat around the bush a little bit here, but later on towards the end with a knife scene, that's very powerful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And the last thing I actually wanted to mention about this unit is that there's a certain point where right before they're about to give him the morphine, you know, and there's like silence, you can actually hear a fly that's flying around, that's already like landing on the body and stuff like that. And that's just like, whoa, I can't believe that they thought to add that in there.
That's insane. Oh my God. I didn't pick up on that at all. That must be that must be a choice. You wouldn't leave that in.
No, I don't think so. That's by choice.
Well, maybe, I guess it's just about the, I don't know, like, maybe it's just showing that, you know, how brutal this war is. Like, the flies are just ready. They're just waiting for more people to die, more flesh to eat and lay eggs in and all stuff.
Don't know. That's just, I mean, we talked about, I think it was last week or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, where also you heard flies, you know, which is like, whoa.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what they're going for then. It's like how horrible it all is, how brutal, how much death and destruction. Like, the flies are just waiting for it. They know. They're like, oh, this will be great. The humans are killing each other again.
That's right. You'd think the mosquitoes would be even happier.
Oh, God. Oh, my God, yeah.
Exactly. And that's all I have for this minute. You have anything else you want to say about this minute?
Just that you've mentally scarred me, and I mean that in a positive way. You're making me relive this moment. And it's both horrific and wonderful, so thank you.
Okay. I don't think I've ever heard it being described that way, but...
The two things can be true. I can love it in a filmmaking sense, but be really emotionally scarred by it too.
But again, that's part of the idea here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going through all the emotions that these guys are, you know.
Yeah. And again, this is an anti-war movie showing how brutal war can be. To say, stay away from these type of stuff. You know,
absolutely, and that's what people misunderstand about this, because I think if they don't watch it as regularly as clearly me and you do, they think, oh yeah, it's full of violence and stuff, and it's like it is, but the point of it is anti-violence.
Correct.
It's like war, let's break it down and simplify it. War sucks. This isn't good. This is horrible. And obviously they're fighting for a good thing, you know, the ultimate goal is positive, but it's still horror, you know, it's still brutal.
Yes. It's true. It's very true. All right. So, did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, that'll be everything.
All right. So, every Friday, we have a segment called Filmmaker Friday, where my guests will give their top five Steven Spielberg movies. So, John, why don't you once again start with your number five and work your way up?
Yeah, and you'll have heard all of these, but I don't care. So I have one honorable mention as well. A bit okay, like well, I did.
Mention the honorable mention this time because you won't be back with us on Monday.
I won't be back, so I'm going to mention it first, yeah, okay. Rather than saving. I think one that's underrated is actually Tintin. I think that's fantastic. It's basically like, what if we made an Indiana Jones for like straight up for kids though? And it's like, yeah, that's basically what that is. I think it's fantastic. I think it's underrated. I'm upset it never got a sequel, but it doesn't make my top five. It is that, but that's saying, you know, it's Spielberg. You could make a top 30 and they're all kind of equal.
that's one of the problems with doing this. Yes.
But really thinking hard, my choices are quite obvious, to be honest. Number five, I have Jaws. Absolute classic. I'm sure what I've heard of Spielberg is he's not too keen on it himself these days. But, you know, he went through a lot making it, and it's an early movie. No one likes their own early work, do they? But as a viewer, impeccable. Why my parents let me watch it as a kid, I don't know. Because it's very scary, you know. And at the time, I was living somewhere with a lot of water. I was living in Cyprus, so they should have even more kept me away from a scary shark movie. But never mind. It was great. It was great. And you know, I don't think they've ever really topped it in the dare I say monster in quotes movie genre.
Right.
Because again, Spielberg elevates it. When they come back with other ones, not the same, is it? It's just the scary shark menacing people. It's different. Mm-hmm. So that's number five for me. Number four, I feel bad putting this low, actually, but I've put it low because you can't call it fun. It's Schindler's List. A very moving movie, very important movie. I think everyone needs to watch it. But yeah, it's not one you go, ooh, you know what I'll do tonight? I'm going to watch Schindler's List. That'll be great, won't it? You've got to really prepare yourself for it. But the fact he could make Schindler's List and then the movie I'm going to mention next, one after the other, well, at the same time, really, insane. No director could pull off tonal shifts like these. It's incredible. And, oh, the villain, you hate him so much.
Well, they say that the rumors are that Spielberg, every day after shooting on Schindler's List, would call up Robin Williams for him to crack him up.
Well, I can understand, because, whoa, it's hard to watch. It must have been hard to make. Jeez. It must mess with your head a little bit. You need a bit of light, lightness after that, yeah. But at the same time, I mean that in a good way, dare I say, because, you know, it's fascinating, it's true, it's moving. I think everyone needs to watch it. Number three, complete opposite, but he was making it at like the same time. Jurassic Park. Because this one's more fun, obviously. You can put this on any time for a laugh and have a good time with it. And again, I think this is the only other movie that's not, you know, it's up there with Jaws in the monster genre, let's say. I don't think anyone else has pulled off a film like this and done it well. All the others are just kind of silly and like, yeah, like Jurassic World, it's okay. It's not Jurassic Park. Yeah. You could say it's because this is, you know, based on a book, maybe, but it's not that similar to the book. So, yeah. But this was all the rage when I was a kid. This was one of the, you know, I had all the toys. I had video games. I had posters of velociraptors and things. So absolutely fantastic. Number two, Saving Private Ryan. It's my second favorite.
It's so low on your list. I'm just kidding.
Nobody else has ever picked it. Coming on here. No, I do think this is an absolute masterpiece. I've talked about it a lot, so I won't delve into it too much. But yeah, number two, it would be number one, if not for Raiders of the Lost Ark. I had to pick that. It's my childhood. I was a Star Wars and an indie kid, you know. So I've got a nostalgic attachment to Raiders that I might not have to something, you know, like Saving Private Ryan. And I was going to, initially, I was going to just say Indiana Jones as a whole, but I thought that was maybe cheating. And I also thought, well, Temple of Doom itself isn't as good as Saving Private Ryan. So that's unfair to put all of them at one.
And especially if you talk about 4 and 5.
Hey, I loved 5. I don't know if that's controversial or not. I loved it.
Let's put it this way. I loved the first 40 minutes of 5.
Hmm. I was into the whole plot about, you know, about an old Nazi now working for the space program and stuff. Great. Loved it all.
Yeah, but I'm saying the first 40 minutes or whatever of the movie, you know, where they have the stuff happening during World War II, that reminded me of the Indiana Jones that we all love and aspire to be.
I wonder if, though, because that bit's so good, if that hurts the movie in a way, because it makes you think of Raiders.
Yes. Okay. I understand the issue.
Oh, but Raiders itself, absolute masterpiece, hard to beat, one of the greatest films of all time. I put it in my top movies of all time, you know. And I'm sure everyone listening has watched it probably as much as I have. And if not, you've got to remedy that. Go and watch it right now. Because I think it got a reputation for a while as like, oh, it's that, like, you know, that kiddie kind of action thing. But it's not. It's very deep in a lot of ways, while having the layer of a fun adventure serial over the top of it. It's very clever. And, you know, George Lucas being involved with it back when he was still good as well. At the peak of his powers. Harrison Ford at the peak of his powers. So watch it, everybody.
Completely agree with you.
Mm. All right. Although I will say, Harrison Ford looks best physically in Temple of Doom.
Yes, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. Each of the three movies in the trilogy have their big pluses with them.
You know, absolutely,
You know, with Last Crusade, him and Connery together is amazing.
That's the thing. On paper, if you said, oh, this one has Indiana Jones' dad in it, you'd go, no, that's stupid. Don't do that. But it works because of who they've got.
That's right. 100%. All right, so John, would you like for one final time this season to tell people where they can find you?
Absolutely. Check out my main podcast, Bat Minute, where we talk about the Batman movies 1 minute at a time. I also have Miami Minute, where we talk about the 80s martial arts classic in question mark, I don't know, Miami Connection, 1 minute at a time. And check out Hedwig Inch by Angry Inch if you like queer rock musicals like Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Just look all those up. They're everywhere. I was going to say on iTunes, but it's not called that now, is it? Was it Apple Podcasts and all of this stuff? Everywhere.
That's true. They did change that. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can send me an email to movierobminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. And you can find me on Facebook. So, John, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's been such a pleasure talking with you about Saving Private Ryan, even though you've seen this movie probably about 1,900 times more than I have.
That was an actual statistic. It wasn't an exaggeration.
I'm aware of that. that I am aware of. I don't doubt that for a second. But I will be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, everyone have a great weekend and earn this.
Earn this. Solitude.